Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
Oh, yeah! Welcome back to another episode of Tube Talk presented by vidIQ. I am your host, Viper, the man about tech, executive producer of social media here at the IQ. And you know, one of the cool things about me working for vidIQ and being the host of this particular podcast here is that I am on a similar journey to a lot of you here listening to this podcast. Meaning, right now, just like a lot of you all, I am in the midst of trying to grow a YouTube channel. And it's still in its relative early days. So I think most of you all are familiar with me by now. I've been doing YouTube for over 6 years, but I kind of started over on YouTube back in 2022. So I started my first channel in 2018. I amassed that channel to around 6,000 subscribers, but there were some issues with that channel. So I decided to start completely over in 2022 with a brand new YouTube channel, and I started from scratch. Some of the people from the old channel came over, but basically I was starting from scratch. I think only like a few hundred people came over, but essentially I started from scratch in 2022. Unfortunately, I wasn't really consistent with uploading the content per se, not really until near the end of 2023. So I was kind of uploading on and off throughout 2022 to 2023 or whatever, but I didn't really start like going on a consistent basis per se until November of 2023. So from November of 2023 until now, I have been uploading content to the channel on a consistent basis. Right now I'm on a 2-video-a-week basis. So that's what I've been doing. I've been able to do that every week of this year. So I'm proud of that. Definitely one of the things that we always talk about here at vidIQ, posting on a consistent basis so you can gain that trust with your audience and get a better footing with the algorithm and all that good stuff. But yeah, posting consistently, definitely something that you need to do as a YouTube content creator. But I figured since the channel is so early on and its infancy, right now I have a little over 2,000 subscribers on it. A lot of y'all, most of you all have 1,000 or less, or maybe some of y'all listening have over 1,000. I don't know. But my goal is by the end of the podcast that you might have a better understanding of how things are going on your channel as I highlight some of the YouTube analytics and things that I look for and that I look at as it relates to my own channel. So I think I want to, before I go into the nitty-gritty analytics stuff, I kind of want to start from the beginning. Because I'm going to just go out and assume right now that if you are listening to this podcast, you want to grow on YouTube. But not only do you want to grow on YouTube, you want to grow at the quickest rate that you can possibly grow on YouTube. You don't want to grow slowly. You want to grow fast. I mean, why else would you listen to vidIQ if not to grow as fast as you can on YouTube? So, taking that assumption into account, one of the first things that all of you all listening need to realize, especially if you are early on in your YouTube journey, the key to growing on YouTube is gaining trust with the viewer. Now, some of you all might have an idea of what that looks like for you and your channel. Some of y'all are probably wondering, Viper, how do I gain trust with the audience, with the viewer? I'll tell you. You gain trust by providing value. Essentially, that is the game on YouTube. Providing value and providing value on a consistent basis. Because providing value on a consistent basis is how you grow on YouTube or any other social media platform for that matter. But we are specifically talking about YouTube today. But you are going to grow on YouTube by providing value on a day in, day out, week in, week out basis. Whatever your frequency of upload looks like on YouTube, that is how you go about providing that value and gaining that trust. So to do this, one of the first things that every creator will need to understand in order to grow on YouTube is that you must identify your target audience. When you make videos on YouTube, who do you want to watch those videos? For me, I make videos for people who are Apple enthusiasts. I call myself the captain of Team Apple. So if you like Apple, if you own Apple products, if you're interested in Apple products, this, that, and the other, chances are you will like the content on my channel. But right now, I'm even niched down more deeper than that. Because recently, I acquired the Apple Vision Pro, which is their new mixed reality headset that they released back at the beginning of February. So once I got that headset, even before I got the headset, I was starting to make a lot of content about the Apple Vision Pro. But especially since I brought the headset, pretty much 99% of the content that I made since I've gotten the headset have been about Apple Vision Pro. I think there might have been maybe one or two videos where I've talked about something that has not been Vision Pro related. But mostly, the content that I have made since February 2nd has centered around the Apple Vision Pro. Whether that be how to use it, my experience with it, accessories that go with it, whatever the content may be, it has been centered around the Apple Vision Pro. So my target audience for the past, I would say, 2-3 months or so have been people who are interested in the Apple Vision Pro or people who have brought the Apple Vision Pro and want to learn more about it. That is my target audience, and those are the people that I make video for every time I think about a video idea, every time I come up with a title or thumbnail, whatever the case may be. My first thought is, what will Apple Vision Pro people want to see and watch on YouTube? That's who I'm thinking about. So why am I so nailed down to Apple Vision Pro people? Because in order to grow a brand, any brand, not just a YouTube channel, but in order to grow a brand, it goes back to what I said earlier, building trust. When you come to my channel, you can trust that the content that is going to be released is going to relate to the Apple Vision Pro. When you go into a Starbucks, you can know that you can get a good cup of coffee. When you walk into a Dunkin' Donuts, it's literally in the name, you can get a nice, tasty donut from Dunkin' Donuts. Trust is how some of your favorite brands have come to be what you know them as today, because they built their back on becoming very good at something, becoming known for something. When you think about Mr. Beast, you think about Mr. Beast for crazy video game, or not video game, but crazy game show style content where he normally gives away money. That's literally his niche. Game show style content where he's giving away money. That's how he became Mr. Beast. Casey Neistat became Casey Neistat because he's such an amazing storyteller around things that are happening in his life. He literally did a daily vlog for years telling the story of his life. Marques Brownlee is the world's most famous tech reviewer today because he spent over 10 years making videos about tech on YouTube. Yes, people, this is how you grow your brand. This is how you grow your audience. This is how you grow your trust on YouTube. Identify your target audience and hit them again and again and again with the content that they want to watch. Because I promise you, if you do it over and over and over again, your vibe will attract your tribe and your channel will grow. Think about the names and brands that I just highlighted and where they are today. They got there by doing the very thing that I just alluded to and highlighted. Marques, he's about to hit 20 million subscribers pretty soon if he hasn't already. Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts are a household name. Casey Neistat is up there in the double-digit million subscriber count club. Mr. Beast is the biggest channel on the platform. But they all got to those points by identifying their target audience and consistently created content that those people want to watch. That doesn't mean, though, that that's the only content that you can do or have to do, Because one at some point you get so big that you gain the ability to branch out and try new things. But I'm talking to my people who are just starting out on their YouTube journey and they want to grow to be to the level of a Mr. Beast or a Casey Neistat or Marquette Brownlee or Starbucks or Dunkin' Donut. You have to build that foundation. And that foundation is built by taking care of the fundamentals. And when I say taking care of the fundamentals, I mean identifying your target audience and making the content to build that target audience up to a level that you want to build them up to. So, once you've identified your target audience and you are now consistently making content that they want to watch, then this is where the analytics and the data comes in and you can quantify the effect of your content and you can use that information to figure out what the audience is responding to, what they're not responding to, and you can use that data to figure out how you're going to move with your content strategy, your video ideas, different things like that. And again, you can use that information to figure out what the best content will be that will fit your audience and their need. Because I'm sorry, creators, when you are starting out on YouTube and you want to grow, it's not about you as much as about the audience and what they want, what they need. Because once you identify that target audience, then you have to meet their needs. It's not just enough to identify them. You have to give them what they want. Otherwise, why should they hit that subscribe button? Because ultimately, that's what we're talking about, right? You want views. You want subscribers. But if you don't gain their trust by providing that value, they're not going to hit the subscribe button. Why would they? So once you put out the content and you begin to accumulate some data, you can then go into your YouTube analytics. So one of the things that I look at when I go into my YouTube analytics, I go into the channel analytics section, whether that be on desktop or the mobile app. You have access to the numbers either way. But one of the things I look at, especially if I want to look at things that are happening recently around my channel, is the live view count, the real-time numbers. And I look at the real-time number for views for videos in the last hour. And I also look at the real-time number for views in the last 48 hours. So the last 60 minutes and then the last 48 hours. Because by looking at the last 60 minutes, you can see if something is gaining traction in that time. And if something is gaining traction, then maybe you might want to go rush out and make a video around the thing that's gaining traction so you can connect the video that you're going to make with the video that's getting the traction at that time. Or you can look at what's happening or what's hitting on the last 48 hours. Maybe one of your videos picked up some traction in the last 48 hours. Apparently, that means that there's some interest in that video and that topic. So maybe you can make a similar video to the one that increasing in traction over the past 48 hours. And then again, you can connect the video that you are going to make with the video that gaining the traction over the past 48 hours and pick up views that way. Now, when I say connect the videos, Viper, what do you mean connect the videos to each other? Well, there's a couple of ways you can connect videos to each other on YouTube if you want to kind of have one video draft off the other. I mean, when I say draft, it's kind of like the thing to do in NASCAR, right? In NASCAR, when you have one car that's in the lead or whatever, and you have another car directly behind that car in the front, the car in the rear is drafting, is using the momentum or the force, or I don't know how to describe it. My NASCAR listeners will know better how to explain it than I am. But basically, the car in the rear gets momentum from the car in front of them, depending on how directly, how close you're driving to the car in front. You're drafting the car in front of you. You're basically using that car momentum to propel your vehicle. It's weird, I know. But here's the thing. If you have a video that's doing well on your channel and you want to use the momentum of the video that's already doing well, again, you go out and you make a video that relates to that video or has some type of tie-in to that video, and then you connect them by a few ways here. So number one, and the thing that I like to do, is use anchoring. If you use an anchoring, what you can do is you can go into the video that kind of gotten hot lately and put the video that you just made, the new video, put that in the end screen of the video that's gaining traction. And that way, when people get to the end of the video that's gaining traction, That will lead them directly to your new video that's been made. You can also go into the video that's gaining traction and put a card in there leading to the new video that you just made. That's another way to gain traction off that video. Or you can go into your comment section of the video that's on fire and put a pinned comment with the link to your new video in the pinned comment section. So there's a few different ways that you can connect videos on YouTube. And for my short listeners out there, you can put a link to one of your other videos in the related video portion of your YouTube short. So you can do that with short. You can do this with short as well. But however you feel best, you can connect videos to each other. If you want one video to get views off the back of another video, you can put it at the end screen. You can put it in the video card. You can put it as a pinned comment. You can put the link in the description of the video that's hot. There's like four different ways, maybe more, I don't know, but there's at least four ways that you can connect videos on YouTube if you want a hot video to give views to a new video or something like that. There are ways to go about getting it done, yo. Just make it happen. But this is not possible if you don't go and observe your analytics and see what's going on with your channel at any given point in time. Because YouTube is weird. This stuff happens when you least expect it. You don't know when it's happening. Sometimes it just happens out of nowhere. You go to sleep one night, you wake up, and your video has like 10,000 views, 20,000 views, and they got them overnight or whatever. Or maybe you're checking during the day, and you see that for whatever reason, you got a video out there that's getting like 300 views an hour all of a sudden out of nowhere. So you need to be checking your analytics on a regular basis. And I'm not saying all the time because, again, that's a little much for some people. But if you want to make these connections and have your video kind of feed off of each other, then, yeah, you will have to check your analytics on a regular basis. And it can help you if you know how to connect them correctly and get one video to gain views off the back of another video that's doing well on your YouTube channel.
This episode of Tube Talk is brought to you by the vidIQ mobile app. You can download it for free on the Android or iOS app stores. And it's here to help you do things like keep track of your competition, research your next video idea, optimize videos you've already posted, and more, all on the go. This is the perfect app to have literally in your back pocket while you're out and about and you find yourself with a few free extra minutes. Having the opportunity to sit down and optimize your latest video or research ideas for your upcoming video can be a game changer and save you a bunch of time as you work to create more YouTube content. Again, you can download the vidIQ mobile app for free on Android or iOS. Just search for vidIQ.
So let's go into the video itself, right? Let's say you go into your audience tab in your YouTube analytics and you check your retention graph. And I would highly advise you all to go check your retention graph off of your video because you can learn some valuable information by checking your retention graph. So you're probably like, Viper, what do you mean? What can I learn by checking my retention graph, Viper? What can that tell me? So I'll give you an example for me, right? And actually, the retention graph is in the engagement tab. It's not in the audience tab. But if you go to the engagement tab of any particular video, you can check that video's retention graph. And the retention graph is basically a graph of how interested people were in that particular video. And you can see areas where they might have dipped off of the video, areas where they might have been more interested in the video. But the graph shows you audience interest throughout the entirety of the video. So let's say I made a 5-minute video. If you go check the retention graph, I can see how the audience responded to every minute of that 5-minute video. And I noticed something recently with my video, and I noticed it by checking my retention graph. So the thing that I noticed about my videos is that I try to have a call to action in my video for people to subscribe. And I do this verbally in my videos. I try to remember, sometimes I forget, but usually if I'm on my game, I will have a verbal subscribe call to action in every video that I do. Because I find that really worked well for me. Now, I'm not saying that could work well for you, but what I'm saying is that you should experiment and try having a verbal subscribe call to action if you're not already. But what was happening was that I was a little too long-winded in my verbal call to action to subscribe. I think I had it last for around 20 seconds for whatever reason. And when I went to my retention graph, and I noticed that at a certain point in my video, there was a dip. There was like a 10% dip for the length of that call to action. Because the cool thing about the retention graph is that not only you can notice dip, you can go, it will have the video right there in the section. So you can play the particular part of the video where the dip occurred. So when I played that particular part of the video where the dip occurred, I thought that that was where my subscribe call to action was. People started dipping when I talked about why they should subscribe to the channel. So as I told you all, the subscribe call to action that I was looking at for that particular video was around 20 seconds. So in that 20 seconds, I had lost 10% of my audience. So what does that tell me and what should that tell you? Well, it told me that I need to make my subscribe call to action shorter, probably 10 seconds or less, maybe 5 seconds or less. It needs to be quick so it doesn't make the audience click off of the video. So that's a lesson that I learned. Now, maybe your subscribe call to actions are better than mine and they will have a better result. I don't know. But again, I can only talk about my experiences, but hopefully you can use some of this information to glean lessons that you can learn on your own channel. Well, I will say that just because these things happen to me don't necessarily mean that they will happen to you, but it is something that you should keep an eye on. If you are using a verbal call to action in your video, you should be checking your retention graph to see if that call to action is losing you subscribe or losing you viewers. So, learning that my 20-second subscribe call to action had dipped my audience retention by 10%, I told myself that from now on, I'm going to make it 5 seconds or less and keep it moving, keep the video flowing. Because what you don't want to do is break the flow of the video too badly, because you want viewers to remain engaged watching your video. You don't want to give them reason to click off of your video. And my subscribe call to action will give them a reason or giving them a reason to click off. And because of that, they clicked off by 10%. So that's a lesson that I learned. So this is why you should look at your retention graph for your video. Every video that you upload, look at your retention graph. The thing that you really want to check on your retention graph, though, is your intro. Because I know a lot of y'all retention graph probably looks like mine, where at the very beginning of the video, the first 30 seconds, there's probably a stark drop in retention. And a lot of times there's a stark drop in retention because your intros are too long. Maybe they're a blank screen. Maybe they're a, what's that terminology we use in vidIQ? Splash screen. Maybe you have a splash screen at the beginning where it has like a logo and your channel banner or channel logo, whatever. And or maybe you have your value proposition on a flat screen. That will cause a lot of people to click away from the video, because when they click on your video, they want to see their value. They want to see the value being delivered immediately. They don't want to sit through an intro or a flat screen. So if you don't do this already, I would highly recommend you go into your analytics, go into the engagement section, check your retention graph, and definitely check out the graph in the first 30 seconds of your video, because you can have a stark drop off. I'm talking about a damn near 40% drop off of audience in the first 30 seconds if you don't do it correctly. That's why it looks like a hockey stick a lot of times. And again, if this looks like yours, you're not alone. This happens to a lot of us. But this is why you look at the retention graph so you can mark these areas for improvement. If you are looking at your retention graph right now and it looks like a hockey stick, that means you need to tighten up your intro. There's something in there that is causing people to click off, and you need to figure out what's happening and rework it to where people are not clicking off in the first 30 seconds of your video. Because if they click off in the first 30 seconds of your video, they're not making it to the end. And the whole goal is for the audience to make it to the end of the video. So, this is why I will tell you all again, check your retention graph. Next up, I want to talk about CTR, click-through rate. Now, I know a lot of us take click-through rate very seriously, but I'm here to tell you, do not overreact to click-through rate right away. Viper, what do you mean? So let's say that you upload a video, you hit publish, right? And you check your analytics after the first hour of the video being posted. And you look at your click-through rate, and it's like, let's say, 4%, 3%, 2%. It's low, right? It's very low. Now, normally, we would suggest that you either change your title, your thumbnail, or both in that instance. But before you make any changes to your title or thumbnail, you should find out why your click-through rate is low. So click-through rate, there's a lot of variables that affect click-through rate. Your title, your thumbnail. But the one thing that a lot of you all kind of forget, the actual video itself also affects your click-through rate. Is your title in alignment with the actual video content? Because if it's not, guess what? People are going to click off of your video, thereby your click-through rate is going to nosedive. But there are other factors that will affect your click-through rate as well. One of the ones that I've noticed for me personally is how YouTube is distributing my videos via suggested videos. So what do I mean? So sometimes when I upload videos and I check my click-through rate, after the first hour, I will notice that my video is around a 2% click-through rate or 3% click-through rate. And I'm like, that's kind of odd because I know my thumbnail looks good. I know the video is quality. The title is banging. So why is my click-through rate so low? So then I do a little investigating. I go into the video analytics, right? I go into the reach portion of the video analytics. And I check the video impressions. And usually the impressions are where I start as far as what's happening with the click-through rate, right? But you need more information than that. You need to know what traffic sources are being acknowledged and what the click-through rate is for those particular traffic sources. So when you go into the analytics and you go into reach, it will show you the impression, click-through rate, views, unique viewers, this, that, and other. But what you want to do is click see more. If you're on desktop, it says see more. I think this happens on, you got this on mobile as well. But click see more. When you click see more, it gives you that same information. But what you want to do is you want to go up to the top of the page where it says traffic source and click on traffic source. So I've noticed that my click-through rates sometimes are extremely low because the suggested video click-through rate is below 1%. And that drags my CTR down. Now, this is a double-edged sword because it means that YouTube is pushing my video to newer audiences that don't normally watch my content. But it also means that YouTube is probably pushing my video to a group of people that have no interest in watching my videos. And if it pushes my video to people that have no interest in watching that particular type of video, guess what's going to happen? They're not going to watch. And the click-through rate for suggested videos is going to be less than 1%. And that is going to tank my overall CTR. And it's going to take a nasty hit. And I will give you a perfect example of how this happened to me a few months ago, right? So I'm in tech. I make videos about tech. If you've been paying attention, you know I make videos about Apple. So earlier this year, I made a video about the MacBook Pro, one of the newer MacBook Pros that came out, whatever the case may be. Oh, no, it wasn't a new MacBook Pro. I made a video about things to look for when you're buying a MacBook. And I put that video out on YouTube. And I checked my CTR an hour later or whatever. And it was very low. And I was like, how is this? This is a good video. Why is it so low? So I go into the analytics. I go into the reach section. I check the impressions and CTR and all that stuff. But then I go to see more. And what I found out was that my CTR was very low because suggested videos had I was getting a lot of impressions from suggested video. Which again, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but on this particular video, it was a bad thing for me because that video that I made about the MacBook was being suggested against a video that was gaining a lot of traction on YouTube around the time my video was uploaded. And the video that it was being suggested against was a Marques Brownlee video. If you know anything about Marques Brownlee and the traffic that he garners on YouTube, it's crazy having one of your videos, for me being a smaller channel, suggested against an MKBHD video. Now, normally for a tech creator, especially one that makes Apple content like myself, this would be a good thing. But in this particular situation, it was a terrifyingly bad thing for me because the video that it was being suggested against was Marques' video about the Tesla Cybertruck. Listeners, let me ask you something. If you are watching a video about a Tesla Cybertruck, that means that you're probably into EV, the electric vehicle, and you are probably on the platform at that time to check out content surrounding the Cybertruck, electric vehicle, but specifically the Cybertruck. So if you look at your sidebar and you see a video about a MacBook Pro, are you going to have any interest in watching that video about a MacBook Pro if you're on there to watch videos about the Cybertruck and EVs? No. So the fact that my MacBook video was being suggested against a Marquez Brownlee Cybertruck video that was getting millions of views, mind you. Now, I wasn't getting millions of impressions. I think I got like, I think I got 10, 20,000 impressions off of that. But again, they didn't care about my video because they were there to watch content about the Cybertruck. So because I was getting that traffic off of Marquez video, it tanked my CTR. So in that situation, there's not really much you can do. Now, usually when it happens, though, YouTube does correct itself because ultimately it does find the intended audience that your video belongs to or whatever, and the numbers kind of even out after a while. But Marquez's traffic pool was so strong that the video that I made about the MacBook, it really never recovered from that being suggested against this video because it took a nasty hit. Because again, it wasn't that my video was bad. It was just that it was suggested against a Marquez Brownlee video about the Cybertruck. A completely different audience that would have no interest in my video about a MacBook Pro at all. So these are the things I'm talking about when I say investigate your CTR. Sometimes it's low because it's not being suggested in the right areas of YouTube. Sometimes it's low because it's being put out to newer audiences that aren't familiar with your content, but that's still a chance for you to pick up additional subscribers. And sometimes it's just low because the video could be better. But you don't know that until you go investigate for yourself and see what's going on with the video. So don't panic right away when your CTR is low. Go into your analytics, see what the traffic sources are, and the CTR as they are related to whatever traffic source that they're picking up at that time, and then make a decision once you have that information in tow. Also, understand that as a YouTube content creator, you will have ups and you will have downs. Sometimes you will put your heart and soul into a video and it will get a 10 out of 10. I'm here to tell you, it is not the end of the world. Because there is a universal truth about being a YouTube content creator that will never change. No matter how your video does, whether it's 1 out of 10 or 10 out of 10, there is always the next video. So as long as you keep that in the back of your mind, I don't want you to get too excited about a high or a low. What I want you to remember, creator, is that there is always the next video. And as long as you remember that, you are good to go. Yeah, of course, it sucks getting a 10 out of 10 on YouTube, but just take whatever frustrations or disappointments that you have and put those into the energy that you put into for the next video. And just know that your next video can be better than your last. Because if you're at 10 out of 10, you can only go up, right? So remember, there is always the next video. So going back to something I mentioned earlier, I want to reiterate, end screens. Are you using your end screens? You know, the little videos that pop up at the end of the video that you have to guide your viewer to another one of your videos. If you're not using them, you should be using them. Because chances are, if the viewer makes it to the end of your video, they're going to watch another video from you and they'll make it to the end of that video. And then it becomes a chain reaction. And YouTube loves that. Because what does that do for YouTube? It shows them that people are watching your content and they are watching, they're having long watch sessions. And if you can get the viewer to have long watch sessions of your content, YouTube will recommend your content out to more people. Let me repeat that for the people in the back. When you can get viewers to watch your videos and then go watch another one and so on and so forth, YouTube will recommend your content out to more people because you are creating a watch loop and you are keeping people on the platform. And ultimately, YouTube wants you to keep people on the platform. So I would highly recommend that if you're not using end screens, use the end screens. But don't just put them at the end of your video. Verbally lead the viewer to your next video. Now, that means that creator, yes, you have to plan. You have to strategize. That means that while you're in the midst of making one video, you need to figure out what the next video is that you want to lead the viewer to so you can verbally call that out at the end of the video. You can come up with a little barb like, if you like this video, I have another video related to it, which you should watch right there. And then point to it and point to where it would end up in your end screen so the viewer knows that maybe I should watch that video next. And that is how you create that watch loop, because you are verbally guiding them to that end screen video. But use your end screen, people. We've had videos on the channel showing you how effective they are. And I can confirm that they've been effective for me on my small channel as well. But they are more effective if you verbally lead the viewer to them by pointing them out at the end of your current video. But even if you don't do that, just use them anyway. Give the viewer another option when the video that they are currently watching is over with. Send them to the next video. But again, you need to know this before you shoot the video. You need to know what video you're going to lead them to next. Very important stuff, y'all. This is high level material. So these are some of the things that you can do when you're starting out to better understand how YouTube works, as far as knowing your audience, checking your analytics, especially your retention graph, understanding what people want and need from you, and uploading on a consistent basis. Because again, if you want to build your channel, that comes back to people trusting you, and they trust you when you put out content that they can relate to and give them value over and over and over again. If you have any questions about anything I mentioned in this video, just tweet at me at vidIQ. I will be more than happy to answer any questions that you guys might have. If you don't understand a certain analytic or a certain metric that you are seeing in the YouTube Creator Studio, again, tweet at us at vidIQ, and we can help you better understand that if you want to do that. I appreciate you guys listening to this episode. You know your boy Viper will be back next week with another episode of Tube Talk presented by vidIQ.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk brought to you by vidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/tubetalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video making day.